to update us on those roads. But earlier in the program today, we were talking about the Merri Valley Pumped Hydro Project. Now, it's part of the state government's $62 billion investment in its energy and jobs plan. That investment in large-scale renewables will help it reach the target announced last week in the Sunshine State, wanting to make us run on 80% renewables by 2035. That's what was legislated. It's a really ambitious target. But according to a new report out today, it's not only achievable, but will crown Queensland as a renewable superpower. The report's been commissioned by independent public interest think tank Climate Energy Finance. And Tim Buckley is leading energy analyst and director of CEF and the report co-author. G'day, Tim. Good to have you with us.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for having me on.
What did you set out to determine with this report exactly?
I was really just trying to get a whole lot of state rivalry going to highlight how fast Queensland's moving, because I live in Sydney and in New South Wales, and it's absolutely critical that New South Wales get the same sort of vision that Queensland's implementing. And so half jokingly, but half serious, it's really important that we have successful examples and leadership, and Queensland's gone from being a bit of a laggard to being a country leader for Australia. And I think it's really visionary, it's really exciting, and it's starting to really mobilise billions of dollars of capital, private capital.
Why is that such an important point to note right now? You talk about the amount of investment, public and private, that is going into this renewables quest in Queensland as bringing in a tidal wave of this money. Why is that such an important point to note?
Well, for a decade we've been hearing the cost of action on the climate science is too high. I think that has really given way because we now understand the environmental costs of ignoring the climate science for 40 years. We know that the environmental, the social, the community, the economic cost of floods and fires smashing Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria on literally a weekly basis. The insurance costs alone are clearly in excess of any real benefit we're getting as a nation. But at the end of the day, there is a massive upfront investment. We are talking about a multi-decade transformation of our existing energy system. We're not talking about closing every coal plant tomorrow or tonight. The science says we should, but economics says you can't. So we need to transition. And there's a lot, when you're building wind farms, they have free electricity for 25 years, but you've got to pay for them upfront. And so there's and the same on a solar project, same a battery project will last you 10 or 15 years, but almost all of the costs come up front, and that's one of the problems. There aren't actually that many jobs in a wind farm. It's all the jobs that come from cheap, zero emissions energy in the system for the industry that's being powered by it. But there is an upfront capital cost, and I think the federal government's worrying it. Like, America's thrown $1 trillion of public money under President Biden, $1 trillion US of public subsidies. And so Anthony Albanese spoke last week and said, we can't afford to do that. We can't match that dollar for dollar. We've got to be a lot more strategic and smarter, and we've got to crowd in private capital.
So when people are listening to this conversation right now, they might be thinking, well, how's this going to help my household? I can't even afford solar on my roof or to buy energy-saving devices. I'm still struggling under the weight of big power bills. How will Queensland's investment in renewables and that 80% target by 2035 help individuals, households?
Yeah, there's one very direct outcome I'm hoping for. On the 1st of July 2024, the Australian Energy Regulator will hand down the new default market offer for electricity for Queensland. They'll do a separate ruling for the various areas in New South Wales and South Australia and Victoria. Now, the default market offer, I'm expecting Queenslanders to see a lot lower pricing than New South Wales. Queensland's looking at potentially a double-digit electricity price decline for retail and industrial consumers. Now, why can I say that? The power price in the last 12 months, the wholesale power price across Queensland and across the eastern coast of Australia is down 50%. In the last 12 months, it's down 50%. We've seen a dramatic move back towards the norm after 2 years of massive hyperinflation. Now, A lot of that is the coal price is coming back down after going up tenfold. The gas price 3 years ago went up tenfold. And we, Australia, even though we're the third largest exporter of fossil fuels in the world, we domestically weren't protected, and we suffered the consequence, as did everyone else in the world, from Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Now, some of that is normalising, and we'll start to see the first tangible benefits of that on the 1st of July.
Well, that's something to look forward to for sure. The report flags that Queensland is also in a pretty happy situation of having access to the critical minerals that will allow us to fully transition to a clean energy future. What do we have in our little, you know, knapsack of gemstones that we can capitalise on?
Well, one of the enabling investments that is being underwritten by Queensland taxpayers through the Queensland government is the copper string cable out to Mount Isa. It's a 1,000-kilometre grid connection. The aim is to open up the Northwest Minerals Province, very grand name, but Queensland's been mining out at Mount Isa for, I don't know, 100 years, and we've been doing refineries there, but we are seeing that investment coming to the end of its useful life. We've seen Glencore announce closures. We need to see a new investment. And at the end of the day, global investors are only going to invest if they see that the enabling infrastructure is there. So the $5 billion copper string investment is all about unlocking the $500 billion of critical minerals and metals that's in the ground in northwest Queensland. That's from everything from copper and nickel to vanadium and gold, and you name it, it's up there. It's about, is it commercially viable? Without the enabling infrastructure, without the energy, it's not going to happen. And likewise, we're seeing an enormous number of green hydrogen, green ammonia proposals around the whole of the coast of Queensland. And that is, if hydrogen is effectively just splitting water and it uses a huge amount of electricity. Now, there's no point doing it unless you're using renewable energy and low-cost renewable energy. So we're starting to see big investments into hydrogen. That could potentially be a major new export for Queensland in 10 or 15 years' time. But it'll only happen if we invest now.
What out of all of this is going to help consumers at that local level? What kind of incentives need to be in place out of the government's plan to help people directly? You're saying that energy prices should come down, but what about incentives for people to actually, those who don't have rooftop solar, to get that in place, to help people put batteries in at their home to store power, etc.?
Annie, that's a really important point, and part of our report does emphasise we need to see massive utility scale wind and solar and battery projects, but we also need to see and leverage distributed energy. Queensland's got the highest rooftop solar installs of any state in Australia, which means they've got the highest, per capita per person. Queensland's got the highest installed rate of solar per capita in the world. That's a pretty big milestone, and yet it's also likely to double and then double again over the next 10, 20 years. Now, as you mentioned, batteries, we've just seen Energy Minister Mick de Brenny announce up to a $4,000 government subsidy for behind-the-meter battery storage so that we can take rooftop solar every day. It's going to be sunny, and you're going to have excess energy when the sun's out, but it predictably will go down every evening. And so what you need is energy when you come home from work or when you're doing your cooking or whatever for the couple of hours after the sun's gone down. Batteries are a great way of actually time-shifting solar. But we also need solutions that go beyond just the house owners. We've got a lot of people that rent. We've got a lot of people in apartments. We've got a lot of people in strata. We've got a lot of people who can't afford the upfront capital. So there are different solutions for each of those categories. We've got to make sure that the state and federal governments work collectively across all of our population so that it's not just the rich property owners who can afford to do it that get subsidies. We've got to make sure everyone gets carried along. Now, one of the examples, Queensland government has said that they'll put a smart meter on every household in Queensland by 2030. That means you could actually have time of day incentives so that you get virtually free power for 6 or 8 hours every day, whether you've got solar on your roof or not. If you're in an apartment, you still get potentially almost cheap free solar whenever it's sunny. I mean, the regulator is really worried about minimum on-grid demand because we've got so much solar. What a lovely problem to have. The price goes negative. If the government has the right policies in place, we can actually make sure the most vulnerable can actually use virtually free electricity for 8 hours every day it's sunny.
That would be very cool indeed. Tim Buckley, thanks for having a yarn about your report. It sounds like Queensland's leading the way.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for having me.
Great to hear from you. Tim Buckley, report co-author on ABC Radio Queensland. And we've been talking about a report out today from the Climate Energy Finance Group that Tim represents. It's an independent public interest think tank, and it's had a bit of a look at what Queensland's doing to ignite a bit of rivalry, Tim says, between the states, because Queensland's making such a massive investment.